You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey, Ryan, how are you today?
Pam, I'm good. I'm good. You?
I'm good. You know, oftentimes we hear about a lot of side effects of cancer.
There's a lot.
There is. And sometimes maybe you don't think of it as a side effect, but the emotional toll that it takes on someone's marriage.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. And sometimes we don't know how to talk to our spouse.
Yeah. I mean, how many times has the word communication or the process of communication come up in our podcast over the last so many years?
If I had a dollar, I'd be rich for every time we talked about it. But, you know, I think it's so important that we help our survivors, you know, not only deal with the side effects of treatment, the chemotherapy, radiation, but also the emotional toll that it takes on a person.
Yeah. If we're committed to focusing on wellness, which we are here at the Survivorship Center, a big component of that is emotional health.
Right.
Mental health, emotional health, physical health, spiritual health. I mean, we have resources for every one of those, don't we?
Right. And we're not the one giving it.
And we, yeah, that's for sure. Right. We are not the ones. We find and have experts in those fields that we allow them to use their gifts and change lives.
That's right. We have a special one today.
We do. We do. You know, if you've been following us for a while on our podcast, you know some of our instructors. We bring them in from time to time, and our facilitators, and that's no different than today. Tiffany Wright is joining us. Tiffany, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back. I'm glad to be here.
Well, listen, I say this all the time. We have the most amazing facilitators and leaders, and that includes our counselors. Pam, you and I have talked on numerous occasions. I couldn't be a counselor. There's no way.
I think you have to have a very special gift, learning to listen and be delicate on this subject that you're listening about, and just being there and giving them the tools that they need for their toolbox.
And so Tiffany is one of our four licensed professional counselors that we work with. And Tiffany, you play a lot of roles here at the center, don't you?
I love it.
From support group to counseling sessions to our memory and adaptation and attention and adaptation training, our MAT training for chemo brain.
Yes.
Just a side note, if you are struggling with chemo brain, we have a resource for you. Memory and attention adaptation training is a course that's really simple to do and put into play and gives you lots of tools. And so I'll give our MAT trainers a plug on that. But that's not what we're talking about today.
That's right.
We're going to talk about something deeper. And we're going to discuss, and by no means do we expect to provide all the answers in this short podcast, but that's why we have Tiffany and our other counselors accessible. We're going to discuss, Pam, how to not let cancer ruin your marriage.
You know, oftentimes I've heard, you know, they got done with treatment and they got served divorce papers.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine the toll it took on them. So we don't want it to go there. So Tiffany, help us out.
Yes.
Where do we even start?
Oh, well, I mean, this could be many days of talking about this topic because one, it is just hard and it's so important, our marriages, right? And like you said earlier, a lot of it is about communications. And just being able to talk about, and also feelings. A lot of people don't know what they're feeling or their needs, what they need. And so we want to set couples up for having good conversations about this. Once somebody is diagnosed with cancer, it seems like it changes everything. It is a new lens that they're looking through and they can't go back. It is now a part of their real world. So it changes everything, to schedules, to health, but it changes our dynamics in our relationships, in our marriage. And we all know that When somebody is diagnosed with cancer, it affects the whole family system, and the marriage is one of the most important because that is usually the caretaker, caregiver that is walking that journey.
Yeah.
So what's the first step that a survivor can do to help so they're not in a difficult spot? They just heard the news, you have cancer.
Yes. Well, I just think so many times there's all the feelings, and we naturally are going to do the fight or flight response, right? And then many times our spouse is there, and we're going to take note from them, or we're going to try to hide our feelings because we see them struggling. And so I think it is taking some time to just feel some of those feelings. But then it's going to be important for couples to talk about what they heard, how they feel, and what next steps do they want to take, and how will they navigate this together. And that is hard because you've got two individuals hearing the same kind of news. It's affecting them differently, and they probably want to be there for the other person. But this, it's like game on. A fight just happened. What do you do? So I think it is spending time communicating. And many times couples haven't done that and haven't done that well. But I also want to say, if you have been married for a while, you definitely have some skills. And if you've built a family and have kids and grandkids, there are some transferable skills that you have from communicating that you can now put in this new situation. So it is being able to talk about new roles, feelings, who is our support system, finances. It just changes everything. And we don't want cancer to steal people's marriages also.
So you talk about feelings. How are we supposed to feel, and what feelings are we feeling?
I don't think we're supposed to feel any certain way. It is just, what are those feelings? And each of them having those, and then being able to talk about those feelings and not trying to fix it. I think we feel out of control when there is a diagnosis. And so it is, I feel this certain way, you feel this certain way. How do we allow each other to feel those things and not either go into a hole where we stuff those feelings, or we try to make the other person feel the same thing? So I think it's, how do we identify those? And listen, this may be where people need facilitators. They need counselors to help them walk in this. As they go through a cancer diagnosis, they have nurses, they have doctors, they have navigators, they have this amazing center. This is just another new thing they're learning how to do. So they may need other experts to help them even just start with identifying, how do you feel, and letting that be okay.
You know, sometimes I hear with survivors, I don't want my spouse to fix it. I just want them to hear me out. How often do you hear that?
I hear that quite often. And I hear the spouse saying, but I just want them to fight. I just want them to live. I just want them to eat. I just want them to do something about it. So there goes another push-pull. Mm-hmm. And so when, let's say, the survivor has some sad feelings, some negative feelings, some defeating feelings, that can scare their caregiver, mm-hmm. their spouse, because they may go to the worst case scenario, because we all do, right?
Right.
And just making it okay that it is a feeling. Feelings change. Feelings are not facts. So it's also helping couples identify what are feelings and what are facts. Facts are what the doctors say, the scans say, mm-hmm. right? And we want to focus on that. Both of these words and these things are important. Feelings and facts, both important, but feelings are not facts, and facts don't care about your feelings.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
I remember one of our cancer survivor celebration, the lady said, it's okay to feel angry and happy at the same time. You can have multiple feelings at the same time.
Yeah. Yes. And it comes and goes.
Right.
And I remember when she said that too, because I was like, wait a second, that's so profound, because I can totally see that within a cancer journey and feeling that those two things simultaneously. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think many times people can feel blessed, right, in this moment, and that they caught it and they have great doctors and they can feel so glad about that. But they're also sad. They just became a member of a club that they didn't sign up for. Yeah. So there is that. And so even just balancing and recognizing that two emotions can exist at the same time. But then you've got your spouse that may be having two other total different feelings. And so I think it is just spending time being able to talk about it, identifying those and being okay with those. Sometimes I think they need support, like from their church if they live by faith, from friends and family, even just setting some boundaries of, hey, we're going to spend some time just together as a couple deciding how we're going to fight this and how do we become on the same team.
You know, as you're talking, I think of a movie, Inside Out, where they have all the feelings and they're all fighting against each other. And you have your husband, your spouse, your loved ones, whoever it may be. It's tough.
Yes.
Well, and I'm sitting here thinking through caregiver fatigue. You know, I never really understood, and Pam, you and I have talked about this, I never really understood what that really looks like until I experienced it when my wife had West Nile, you know, and you're like, I'm tired of this. This is crazy. Why aren't you feeling better? Why aren't you doing? And you're like, wait a minute, this is unfair for me to say this. I'm not the one who's sick and going through and all of this. And but yet that has to be a big challenge as well.
It is one of the biggest, I think, because one, many times roles change. If let's say you had traditional roles, and now a man is learning how to cook, learning how to clean, learning some of these things that wasn't natural to him, right? But then there's a lot of, we've talked about this before in other podcasts, there's a lot of those cognitive distortions. I should do everything. I should be everything, right? When really, if you are not your best, you can't take care of your partner. Many times, of course, I love this analogy. We talk about it all the time, but just like the flight and the flight attendants, right? You've got to put on your own oxygen mask if you really want to care well for the other person. And so that is allowing other people to come in and sit for treatments, to take care of your household, to give you meals, to go and just rest. Because again, if you don't have the capabilities, but you still believe you should be at all, it's going to cause problems for your marriage. It's important for there to be two healthy people in a marriage to make the marriage healthy. And we just put all the shoulds on ourselves. I should be everything. And that just is not going to be helpful.
Yeah. It sounds so easy, right?
It does.
And I feel like some people that are listening are going, yeah, but, you know, you don't know this, or we have that. I mean, it's simply reaching out and being willing to ask for help. Is that a fair statement to say? That's a big step.
Definitely. Because one, you need new skills in something that you're doing that's new. Being diagnosed with cancer is now a new arena. And we need new skills. You didn't need them before. So it is asking for help. And definitely, this is not easy at all. You're watching your loved one go through this. You yourself are going through this. There is nothing easy about this, except for there is help out there. There is support. And just being able to tell yourself, I've never done this before. I've never been a cancer survivor before. I've never been a caregiver before. So why would I know how to do this?
Yeah. I'm assuming, you know, you were talking about roles and roles changing. You know, I think we would need to identify, like, what's the most important thing that I'm not willing to give up? As a mom, maybe it's picking up your kids. Or as a dad, it's showing up at work every day. I'm sure that plays an important role in the marriage as well, too.
Definitely. Because again, we just got the rug pulled out from under us. And to have some control, we've got to be able to say, I still need this. I'm not going to let cancer take this from me. And so I still need to pick kids up from school. Somebody can go with me. I can ride with them, but I need to be a part of that. Or I need to still attend church or whatever it is, allowing them to still be in control and trusting that they can and trusting that they will ask for help when they need it, but not taking everything away from them. That's when we get hopeless. That's when there becomes stress and conflict. The thing that I know about all the couples that I have dealt with, their intentions for their spouse both ways and for their marriage are so good and pure. But that doesn't mean that they don't need to communicate and decide together. Become a team.
Yeah. You mentioned about, and I think it's a, I love analogies. And you mentioned, you know, you have nurses, you have doctors, you have, you know, all of these things. And we need to bring in someone to help be on that team. Kind of makes me think back about, you know, when we had our, how to be a badass advocate.
Yes.
And I listen, that's a great podcast episode for you guys to go back and listen to. Assembling your team and getting your people together and right. getting everybody on the same page. And why not include a licensed professional counselor who has marriage and family counseling experience and working with cancer survivors?
Right. You talk about communications. What tips can you tell our listeners to communicate?
Yeah, I think that can be a good basic of just using I statements. I feel, I think, I need. That doesn't mean that it is true for the other person, and it doesn't mean that that's not going to change. So can I share with you how I feel about this? Can I share with you what I think about this? Having the other person clarify and even just repeat back, did I hear you say you want a second opinion? You need to make sure that you tuck the kids in bed at night. Okay, well, let's figure out how we can do that. And then asking your spouse, how do you feel about this? How are you feeling about what's going on? What do you think? Is this what you think? Okay, how can we come together and resolve this and make a plan? Because again, if you've been in a marriage long enough, you've done budgets, you've gone grocery shopping, you've figured out laundry, you've raised kids, you do have some transferable skills that can just flop into this area. But I just think this is so scary when you hear this, that their emotions are high, that getting a little bit of tools from somebody, I think can be a very important way to just, how do we talk about this and navigate it? But let's talk about it. Let's don't put it in the corner. Let's don't make any assumptions.
What would you say, Tiffany? I was thinking of this as you were talking just now. I feel like I need a second opinion. I feel like whatever that is, mm-hmm. insert how I feel about my diagnosis. How about conflict resolution where the other one says, but no, that's not the way. No, you don't. We should do this.
Right.
I think that's probably, is that a fair statement to say that's a big struggle as well?
Oh, definitely. Because we are opinionated and we think what is right. And listen, many times things are very fear-based. Like, we don't have time for a second opinion. We have to go get this done. Let's start treatment right now. Yeah. And so one, I think in what ways in the past did you resolve conflict, right? If it was healthy, you put that in place. But one, many times people's conflict resolution hasn't been healthy, or they don't know what that is. And so, again, I always just think there's an underlying emotion that drives us to do the things that we do. And so if you don't know how you as a couple resolve conflict, you need help. But if you've done it well in the past, you can do it now. So identifying, hey, when we had that struggle with our families deciding on how we were going to go to Christmas, what did we do? Did we flip a coin? Did we decide that we're going to go here one year and here the other? How did we decide that? Those are transferable skills. But exactly, there has to be healthy conflict resolution. Or if somebody just takes control of this, there will be side effects after treatment. There will be hurt feelings. There will be resentment. There will be a lot of things. And not that we can't help then, but if we can do things while and help you while you're going through this journey in all those areas, physically, spiritually, emotionally, maritally, we want to do that.
You know, oftentimes we hear, man, I wished I would have known when I got first diagnosed mm-hmm. about these services. Mm-hmm. So we're telling you now, yes. if you're out there, if you need these services, reach out. You know, they're available. You know, you talked about resolving conflict. I know that outsider conflict, outsider noise, their opinions, how do couples process that the best way?
You mean from another spouse?
Let's say the in-laws, the aunts,
you
the
have
friends,
to do this. You have
need to do this. Yeah. You know, you yes. hear that often. And how do you cancel all that out and just... Yes. process between the two of you.
Yes. And I think that's, again, making a safe place that you and your spouse are united. Because if you aren't united, you will go and listen to those outside sources. So it's you and your spouses being united before you let all that noise come in would be perfect, you know, way to go about this. But also, who are the people we choose to speak into us? What does that look like? How do we allow them to have their opinion, but we still are going to make our own choices? Wow. That is just that may be another whole other podcast, right? How do you let people love you well, but not tell you what to do and where you should be and have emotions and feelings about that? And so I do think it's setting some healthy boundaries with family members, which always doesn't go well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those boundaries.
Yeah. I cannot imagine what our survivors have to deal with mm-hmm. aside from just treatment related. You know, these are all these things, these outside. It's no wonder people just get so fed up with things. Mm-hmm. You know, as you brought up, Pam, you need to go to this place. I heard lemon juice cures. You need to go take baking soda and mm-hmm. you need to all the things on top of. You've got to do X, Y, and Z, and it's terrible to have to deal with all of that stuff along with just making sure you're getting your treatment and your labs and your tests and all your things done.
I know that's got to be hard to process, and people are doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're yes. not trying to harm them, no. but you really
the intent is good.
Yes. yes, and so they really have to make a mindset that hey. I'm not going to follow that, but okay, thank you for your opinion.
Yes. Yeah. And again, it would be great if as a couple starts this process, they meet with somebody and talk about together, how are we going to do this? What is our plan? How do we let people in? Who are we going to let do whatever? That's another thing, is allowing other people to help you, especially if you've always been the helper, allowing somebody to pick your kids up or to clean your house or to bring you food. That can be really hard, but it can be so helpful. So there's a lot of humility and pride that plays a part in all of this. And so this is just an added stressor for couples. Something else I hear is, I was like this before treatment and cancer, but now I'm like this. I don't need this anymore. And that doesn't mean I don't need you, right? Or I don't like going camping anymore. I don't like that food anymore. That can shake a foundation of a marriage, because the other person can feel like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
I thought this is our plan. I thought this is what we do.
Or what did I do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to take a moment and let's kind of shift gears and let's talk about, so our listeners are going, yeah, to the listener, Tiffany, that says, yeah, but man, I can't come see you every week. I don't feel comfortable to, let's talk about what this looks like so we can dispel some of these myths like, yes. Oh, I got to sit in there. And it's like going to, you know, the proverbial, hi, my name is Ryan, and it's very sterile, and it's not.
Right.
Let's talk about what this looks like for marriage counseling.
Yes. Well, the number one thing is just to make it a safe place for people to say all the things and feel all the things. And it is going to be hard and awkward at first, just like getting diagnosed with cancer and allowing, you're talking about some private things. You're seeing things that maybe you haven't shared with your spouse before. So it will be hard, but it is setting it up for, we are here for you. We want to help you navigate this well. You're going to doctor's appointments and talking to doctors together and nurses together and treatment together. It's the same thing. Let's talk about how you met. Let's talk about how you've done things in the past. Let's talk about how are you feeling and just validating that everybody's feelings are real and true, right? And again, just teaching them to listen to one another, slow down, make time for each other. I encourage couples to spend time looking at their calendars every Sunday. What do we have going on? Where's treatment? Where are the things that we have to do this week that wasn't our life before cancer? That's communication. And then having a special time that they talk about, how are we doing? How do we feel? What's going on with you? How can I help? So it is being intentional. And listen, if they're waiting for treatment, they're in the car. They're in the waiting room. Time is there. Right? Yeah. So we don't want to say, oh, we don't have time for that. You're sitting and waiting many times. And so take that opportunity to be together, to discuss things, to write things down. And listen, this doesn't have to be a weekly thing. It could be, how can we set you guys up for success? Go try some things. You won't know until you try. You didn't need these before, but maybe these are skills you can try now. Maybe you didn't meet on a regular basis, but now somebody has to take off work to get to that appointment. Who's going? That's communication. That is building intimacy in all ways. When we communicate about our feelings, when we communicate about our calendars. So it's not going to be the most comfortable thing, but know that just like the doctors have those skills, so do the counselors, and they want what is best for you. So let us walk alongside you in this journey.
So whenever you look at marriage counseling, is it always the couples together, or do they come separate and then come back together? How does that work?
Well, for marriage counseling, we want you both there. But many times in my practice and getting to bless people through the process of going through cancer, I may meet with you separately to even help you identify what are you feeling and making that a safe place to even, how do I articulate this to my spouse? Because the things that I want to say right now are out of anger and they are not out of kindness. So I may meet with them individually to figure out what is the kindest way to speak about feelings and how can you listen to the other person's? But then let's come back together. And I want to help you model that. I may have you practice it in session because you're learning a new skill. You're moving a new muscle that maybe you didn't have to move. So let's do it together. Let's practice it in a safe place. And now you have this, go and do it on your own. So there's not a cookie cutter way. I am willing to meet with individuals, but then let's come back together as a unit and figure out how we mesh those two things.
Pam, the other thing I know some of our listeners are probably thinking, how much does this cost? Like, cancer is expensive.
Mm-hmm. I don't have time.
I don't have money. We don't have budget. We pay for it.
Yes.
Don't we?
You know, everything that we do is 100% free, you know, by the generosity of our community. So, you know, if you're struggling, there is help. Reach out.
We do not suffer through this. The times I've heard, Pam, when you've come to me and say, hey, did you know so-and-so and so-and-so and da-da-da, and you hear these horror stories or bad things happen in marriages, and it's so unfortunate. We want to help you out. We want you to have the opportunity to visit with one of our counselors, visit with Tiffany, and put these tools in place.
Absolutely. You know, Tiffany, do you have anything else that you can leave our listeners about how not to ruin our marriage?
I think it is reminding each other that I love you and I'm here. It might be getting out your marriage vows, talking about that it is for better or worse in sickness and in health, that I'm not going anywhere and we're not going to allow cancer to take anything from us. I might not know how that's going to happen, but I want you to remember that I love you, that I'm for you, and we both are in this together. So it is just those reminders. It could be a handhold, it could be a look, but also it needs to be verbally said. We got this. We're going to do this together. I'm not going anywhere. I know you would do this for me. Let me do this for you. It's some of those basic things that we take for granted when life is going well. So just saying the things that you feel and you know that are true about your spouse and your marriage is going to be really important.
Wow. Powerful.
I feel like we've learned a lot.
A lot.
A lot. That leads us to our last segment. Do you have an inspiring moment that you could share with our listeners?
Well, I just want to say I've dealt with this recent couple that they will walk around and they will tell you that cancer was the best thing that happened to their marriage because they love each other better. They talk about things that they would have never talked about before. And that because cancer threw them in this loop where they had to and they did seek help, that they feel like they can conquer anything because they have built intimacy in talking about things and doing things well together. And so don't be afraid to let cancer not ruin your marriage, but actually bless it and make it stronger. And then that's something that you can pass down to friends and your children. So there is hope, there is health, and let's not let cancer take from your marriage.
Couldn't agree more.
Absolutely.
Well said. Tiffany, thank you for what you do for our folks and for joining us today to share. Gosh, Pam, I think we could probably do about a 5-hour podcast on this, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, but we don't want to give out all the tips because Tiffany is available.
Right.
So if you are needing counseling or would like to talk to Tiffany, please give us a call at 806-331-2400. If you have the app, you can make a request to see a counselor as well. So we want to make it as easy as possible.
It is not hard to do that. You don't need a referral. You don't need, you know, you just need to ask. And that's truly the simplest way. We put you in touch. They work the schedule out. We don't even know who's where and when they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
It's so easy. So easy.
Yes.
Well, you know, you guys take this to heart. I think this is one of those episodes that maybe the spouses could sit down together and listen to.
Yes, and definitely great starting point right here.
Yeah, take a first step with this, and then let us know how we can help you. I think that's their homework, Pam.
Sounds like a good plan.
And as you said, don't get behind. Right, don't wait till if things are really bad.
Yes,
not to say that things, you know, are bad all the time, but maybe while things are still doing okay and going well, this is a good opportunity to get plugged in.
That's kind of like the nurse coming out of me, you know, don't let the pain get too bad before it's too bad to treat. So
exactly.
Stay ahead of it.
Stay ahead of it. Just like that. That's a great example. Yes. Stay ahead of with your marriage.
Yes.
Well, thank you again for joining
us,
Tiffany. Thank you to all you that are listening. Be sure and share this podcast and then make sure that you follow us on our social media, but also get our app. Get our app. It's Cancer Survivorship Center. It's in the Google Play. It's in the App Store. You'll be able to see everything that's on there, but you can also, as we said, make a request for appointments, whether that's with our dietitian, one of our counselors, if you need the memory and attention adaptation training for chemo brain class, or if you need to speak with our nurse and have a treatment summary and care plan. Those are all easily done through our app. And we'll get you placed and plugged in where you need to. Well, thank you guys for joining us on this episode, and make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon. Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.